continue our study from the book of John and focusing specifically on evidences of belief in the book. There's a number of things that you could include in a 13-week study about evidences from the book of John, especially in light of the statement that John makes, which is really the theme of the book, and who knows where that is and what that says. Anybody? What's the purpose of the book of John? Yeah, they will not believe. Where is that at?
20,
that's right. 30 and 31. Right? That's the theme of the whole book. And so really you could include any event that you might like to include in a study of this from the book of John. And all those things are written down and recorded that we might understand and come to a knowledge of the truth of who Jesus is. Very few, as we'll see in our study, but very few are the statements in the book of John that says that something was done, something was said, and therefore the people believe. Now that happens a number of times, and we'll look at those. But if you were to look at it and say, well, you have 13 weeks, so I'm going to pick 13 events from the book of John where it specifically says, and the people believe, you're probably going to come up short. But there are other things, as we're going to notice in our study, that proves to us that Jesus is who He said that He was. We're going to begin on page 8, very briefly, look at these questions so we can focus our time on our third lesson. Explain what John meant when he stated that Jesus was before him. How much older was John than Jesus? 6 months, but yet John says that he is preferred before me because he was before me. What do you mean by that? Yeah, he's before creation. He coexisted with God. He was there before the foundation of the world. And so he was before
John. A lot of times with the context of that, what John is saying there, in terms of what he's talking about in verse 14, like when you look at in the beginning was the Word, God, all things were made through Him. In Him was light from the beginning, light. The light shines from the beginning throughout history. He was there. Verse 9, this that was the true light which gives light to every man according to the world throughout time. And he talked about then this Word that he's talked about became, took up another form, became flesh. Which shows the pre-existence of what John is trying to say before he became flesh.
That's
this
right.
Is what he was. He was God.
And even though John was 6 months older, he was before me.
And so that's what the that's word right. Again became, that he took up another form.
Good.
Something that he was not right.
That's right. That's right. Good point. What does the word God mean? Does the Bible refer to Jesus as God? If so, give the reference. And there's more than one that you could put there, but Acts 20, 28, John 1. Okay. Did the Word take upon Himself the characteristics of humanity? Does the Bible ever state that God the Father was made flesh? How many times does the book of John use the phrase Son of God? Okay, 10, 11. I'm going to say this because this may account for the difference. All of these are based on the King James Version, so you may use another version that don't use that phrase. So if you're using a version that's different, I don't know how many times it might be found in that particular version. But if you're using the King James Version, it should have found 11 times. When the Word became flesh, did He stop being divine? Explain your answer. Good job. That's right. And we're going to look at that when we get to miracles, but that shows forth His...
Yeah.
That's right. And plus the fact, I think is a strong point, is in Luke's account, in chapter 1, His name shall be called Emmanuel. He's called Wonderful, another Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. In this lesson, we discussed at least three beings which are not to be worshipped. Who are they? Good job. Did Jesus ever accept worship, and how do you know? He did, and how do we know that? Yeah, you got examples of that, right? We covered at least 10 of those in our last lesson. Jesus stated in John 4:24 that those who worship God must do so how? And Jesus stated the Father seeks such to worship Him. Simple questions, but these are simple lessons, but yet very vital and fundamental to Christianity. Lesson 3, which is an interesting lesson. I hope that you've looked at it and you've gave it some thought as we're going to talk about John the Baptist, his mission and work. I don't know if you've ever given a lot of thought to the purpose of John and what John did and his work and his mission, what the Scripture says about John. I know that we look at it and we say, John came to prepare a people ready for the Lord. And we're going to notice that in this lesson. But there's other things we can learn about John. And so, as put in the introduction, that so important was the work of John the Baptist that Jesus declared, Luke 7:28, what did He say? And you could focus and do a lesson on what the Lord, what was meant by saying that he that is in the kingdom is greater than he, but save that for another time. But notice that the Lord said, greater prophet has not arisen than John the Baptist. So the mission and work of John is an interesting study, and we need to take a look at it. I had an individual that once stopped at my parents' home, and I was there at the time, and the guy was inviting us to the service where he attended, and we questioned him about the church and how the particular church began that he was a member of. He brought up John the Baptist, and his response was this: if John was a Baptist and he baptized Jesus, what did that make Jesus? And you can gather from that what he was trying to infer, which was a faulty conclusion. Matter of fact, the Bible refers to John as what? What's that ark right before Baptist? What's he referred to him as? The Bible. The. Not a, but the. No other person was referred to as such. And we'll look at what that meant in just a moment. But point one, we can learn something about John's parents. And what we learn about them is recorded in the book of Luke mostly. John's father's name was what? Zechariah, Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. What did he do? He was a priest. And according to Luke's account, his course or his lot was to do what? Well, various priests did various things. What was his? That was his... Say it again. Did you say prepare the way for Christ? That was John's work, but his father, Zechariah, what was his lot or his course in performing the things in the temple? Yeah, he's burning incense, right? His mother's name was Elizabeth, and the Bible says that she was a daughter of Aaron. I think that's interesting when you look at the fact that here was individuals from the same tribe, basically, from priest background, and then from the daughters of Aaron, they came together, and that union is who John was born to. In Luke 1:6-7, we learn the following about Zacharias and Elizabeth, and this could be a great sermon. What do we learn from them? The Bible says that they were both righteous, walked in His commandments. Yeah, they were blameless, right? As they walked in the commandments of the Lord, they kept the thing. That doesn't mean that they never did wrong in their lifetime, obviously. But they walked before the Lord blameless in a way in which they kept the commandments that God had given. But yet they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. Those are some good points that we learn. You could speculate. We're not going to. That don't profit me or you anything at all. But that's what the Bible reveals to us about his parents. We already talked about the fact, point two, that John was a cousin to Jesus. John was family to the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 36. We talked about the age difference in point C. John evidently did not meet the people's expectation. I want us to read that some of that together. Matthew 11, begin with verse 7. Go ahead, if someone will, and read those. We have time to read through those eight verses, 7 through 14.
And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, and among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is at least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Remember how the Bible describes John as far as his appearance? What does the Bible say? Yeah. But yet, the Lord is asking this question concerning John. What did you go out to see? I think about that from time to time relative to preaching and the work that a congregation is engaged in. We're not always going to meet the expectation of the people. Maybe the case was that they expected when they got out there to see some great one physically. I don't know, the text doesn't say. But the Lord says, what did you go out to see? Person that was clothed in soft raiment, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. You know, sometimes the preacher, the preaching, and the work of a particular congregation doesn't always meet the visitor's expectation. Sometimes it doesn't meet the member's expectation. But me, and hopefully you, and what we're engaged in, we're not here to please people, are we? We're here to please the Lord and do what the Lord would have us to do. And so, regardless of what the people's expectation was of John and what his physical appearance is, John came to do a particular work. And so, what did they expect? I don't know. He doesn't tell us that. But I think that gives us something to think about. Mark 1 and 1 through 6 talks about that as well. The third point, John and his character. We learned something from Scriptures about the character of John. Think about what an individual he must have been to come on the scene and break this 4-century-long period of silence. Coming on the scene. No prophet had been since close of the Old Testament till then to reveal and to do the work that God had said until he came on the scene. You think about how his character must have been to have carried out the work of God. When I read about John, I don't read about a quitter. Do you? I don't read about someone who was weak and without a backbone who would just cave under the appearance of threat or whatever the case may be. I don't read about a person that was timid in the things that he spoke. But John preached concerning the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom. Mark chapter 3 and verse 2, and the Lord did as well in chapter 4 and verse 17. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached concerning the need for folks to repent and have actions which witness to that change taking place. What did he tell those that came to his baptism? Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Right? Bring forth therefore fruits, yeah, that are meet, King James Verse says, but that means that are appropriate, that show forth this change that takes place in your heart. And he was bold in that proclamation. The Pharisees, or to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were these religious leaders, John said, as we just said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You know, to the standards of a lot of people today, that would have just been inappropriate. Don't call people that. Don't call people hypocrites. Don't call them thou child of the devil, as Paul did to Elymas in Acts the 13th chapter, or vipers, as John did here to these religious leaders who should have known better, but they did not practice the things in which they even tried to get the people to practice. We need to quit trying to be nicer than Peter, James, John, and the Lord. We run into problems when we try to do that. I'm not saying that we might be tactful and so forth. They were tactful as well. But we can learn a great point from that. John did not allow fear to hinder him from being forthright. It's also a lesson for each one of us. In your private teaching and the preacher's preaching, we need to preach and to write and to speak so as to be understood. You agree with that? You don't need to hear a lesson that I bring forth and then after the lesson say, I don't even know what that lesson was about. Be forthright, up front and honest with people about what you're trying to say. Don't hem-haw around and beat around the bush and tiptoe around it. John reprimanded Herod, and here's an example of that, for his adulterous marriage. What position was Herod in? Yeah, a man of authority. Right. Would you be so bold as to stand before a leader of authority in our nation today and reprimand them over the sin that they were engaged in? Many of us won. I mean, generally speaking. And then we complain when sin abounds. Well, it's due in large part to those who know the truth, have sat back for years and years and years and wouldn't open their mouth. And then now when things are so bad, we want to try to do something about it. He stood for truth, which ultimately led to his execution. That didn't come from Herod. Ultimately, the command was given. But that brewed in the mind of who? Right, his wife, who shouldn't have been his wife. And we're going to talk about that in the lesson this morning about not the point that his relationship with her, but another aspect of that situation. The church would be better served today if Christians would have the same fortitude and backbone. Don't we learn that from John? Perhaps we never thought about John in those terms. You think that he ever stood alone? You think he ever walked into unfamiliar territory with the message that he was given to give to others? But then John, a prophesied forerunner. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied that God would send a prophet before the coming of the Lord, or before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Malachi 4:5. Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4. Someone can turn there and read that for us. Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4.
A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley.
How do we know that this particular text was in reference to John the Baptist? When I read Isaiah 40 verses 3 and 4, I didn't read John's name in there, did you? Well, how do we know that? Larry did a good job on the class he taught on prophecy and so forth. One of the points he pointed out, this very idea of how do we know that? How do we today, let me qualify, how do we today know that John fit the bill? Yeah.
This is that which was spoken.
We don't have to guess about it, do we? It was clearly said, this that was spoken, this was John. He fit the bill. He's a man that fulfilled that Matthew chapter 3 and then verse 2, then Matthew 4:17 that we've already mentioned. John the Mercer, John the Baptist is what that had in reference to. Some get all hung up on the word Baptist in these passages. But the word here has nothing to do whatsoever with the Baptist church. I put in there, the Baptist church had its beginning in 607 by John Smith in the city of London, England. That date varies depending on what source you look at. Some say 1608 or whatever the case may be. Baptist relative to John was a descriptive term and not a title. Think about that. It describes what he did and not a title to be worn. Sometimes people, they may refer to me or you, preacher so-and-so. That's not a title. That's a word that describes what I do. I'm just a Christian that so happens to preach the gospel. Elder, deacon, so forth. Those are terms that describe these men and what they do and not a title to be worn. The world misses that point. John baptized. He immersed individuals. John 3 and then verse 23. A lot of other references you could put down for that. But John was also baptizing in Aden near to Salem. And I like what he says here. It's a good verse for you to underscore. Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. That tells us John was immersing people. And it tells us why he was at that particular place. Because baptism, a burial, takes much water, more than just a sprinkling or a pouring. He immersed individuals. And then if we've already pointed that out. He was referred to as the Baptist, the immerser. But the John's mission, we've already stated it was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, what does he say? Malachi 4, and in verse 6.
And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest that come and strike the earth with a curse.
Now think about that and turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Think about that prophecy as well as the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 verses 2 and 3. And notice what the Bible says in Luke 1:17. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Is that not what Malachi prophesied? When you go back up to Malachi 4 and verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Now the Lord explained later that was John. And to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Jesus showed plainly that John was a fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew 17, verses 10 through 13. John was a prophet. A prophet is an individual that what?
Speaks for
another, right? Sometimes you might hear it described as a mouthpiece for someone. Was Moses a prophet of God? Yes. Was Aaron a prophet? Yeah, there you go. I'm glad you caught that. The Bible says that Moses was a prophet of God, but Aaron, his brother, was a prophet for Moses. He spoke on behalf of Moses, because remember Moses said, well, I'm not eloquent in my speaking. God took care of that and said, here's your brother. Let him help you in that work. Or not let him help you, but he will help you in that work. John was a witness of Christ. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Then we need to think about, lastly, before we get to the questions, about John's baptism. The baptism administered by John was in water. We looked at that. We're not talking about Holy Spirit baptism. We're not talking about baptism in whatever else that an individual could name. It was in water. Matthew 3:16, and here's some other passages that clearly set that forth. This baptism was unto what? Repentance, Matthew 3:11. And this baptism was for, which we're going to qualify, was for the remission of sins. You agree with that statement? Turn there and read that passage. I think I know why we feel the need when we talk about this to qualify it, even though we ought to just say the Scripture and let it stand for what it is. But we do need to explain for the purpose of individuals understanding what he's talking about. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 4. Someone go ahead and read that.
John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
Okay, that word remission in the King James Version means a remittal, a removing, or a forgiving. Now I ask you again, based on that passage, was the baptism of John for the remission of sins? Let me read it again. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Was it for the remission of sins? Huh? That's what it says. Now we need to explain to people why John was doing that and how individuals received remission of sins. John was baptizing in water unto repentance for the remission of sins in expectation of what? The death of Christ. Those sacrifices under the Old Testament. God could forgive because God knew what He was going to do. And so when the Old Testament says, do this and I will forgive you. Do this, I've forgiven your iniquity. Because God knew what He was going to do. He expected the people to do what He told them to do. So don't miss that point. Someone says, was the baptism of John for the remission of sins? You can say that's what the text says. Here's what it means. This is why the text can say that. Jesus had not shed His blood at this point, had He? The people had to repent and be baptized. Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28. John's baptism, as I already said, was administered in an anticipation of the coming Christ. John's baptism was administered by the authority of heaven. In other words, did it come from heaven or did it come from men? We recently just covered that on a program. Only two roads about it. Anything we do in this life, we can say, is it of heaven or of men? Jesus questioned them. He was questioned by the religious. By whose authority are you doing this? Jesus said, I'll ask you a question. If you tell me, then I'll tell you by whose authority. The baptism of John, was it of heaven or of men? And they didn't want to answer because they would have indicted themselves. If we say of heaven, then He will say, why didn't you then believe Him? But if we say of men, well, we fear the people because everybody held John as prophet. And so Jesus said, then I'm not going to tell you by whose authority I do this. Everything we do today is either of the authority of heaven or it's the authority of men. John's baptism is no longer valid today. And we've got an example of that in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Acts 19, 1 through 5. And we've got 5 minutes left, so, and we're almost done with this, and then we'll get through the questions, Lord willing. We understand in Acts chapter 19 that here Paul comes to Ephesus. He finds certain disciples. Acts 19:1. Have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we've never heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then in what were you baptized? What were they baptized with? John's baptism in water unto repentance for the remission of sins. Right? And then notice verse 4. John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on Him which should come after Him, that is on Christ Jesus. But suppose that the people would have said, well, now hold on. John's baptism was for repentance and to the remission of sins. We've been baptized for the remission of sins. We don't have to do anything else. Here's an example of individuals who were baptized in water, immersed unto repentance For the remission, by the way, let me ask this. Was there repentance before or after their baptism? John, even in John's baptism, before or after? Yeah. Bring forth therefore works worthy meet for repentance. Unto the remission of sins. Well, yeah, in word they had been. But his baptism wasn't valid any longer. The Lord has shed his blood. And now you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins by the authority of Christ. That's what in the name of means, by the way. Well, what'd they do about it? They were baptized again. What's that teach us today? When you've not been baptized properly, have not been taught properly, and then you come to a knowledge of the truth, to begin anew and do it the right way. I can't make that any plainer than what he did, and there's an example of that. Then you can read the conclusion and so forth. It's indicated that perhaps John did not meet the expectation of the people, but it was significant, paved the way for the coming of the Son of God. Now, the questions. Who was John's parents? Very simple questions. Just want you to reflect on what we've studied. And what was his father's occupation? Good. His mother was of the daughters of? Name the characteristics of John's parents. Yeah, righteous. Yeah, walking in the commandments. Blameless. Good job. What relationship was John? And by the way, blameless qualifies how they were walking in the commandments of the Lord. What relationship was John to Jesus? Describe the character of John and cite some passages, or examples rather, that support your answer. Say it again.
He was committed to doing the work that God had given.
Yeah, that's right. He was committed. Bold. Brave. Steadfast. Even before Herod. Steadfast. This is the truth I'm standing for. What two Old Testament prophets foretold of the coming of John? Isaiah, Malachi. What does the word Baptist mean in reference to John? What was John's mission? What was the purpose of his baptism? That's right. Is John's baptism valid today? Why not? Why not valid? Christ shed his blood. And now the Lord commands that individuals be baptized in or by his authority, Matthew chapter 28, 19 and following. Next week, we'll do lesson 4 if it be the Lord's will. Take your time to read through the book of John, read the lesson, do the questions. If you've already read the book of John, I promise, I think I'm safe in saying, it won't hurt you to go back and to begin to reread it. Appreciate your good attention.